We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
John Clayton with us here on 95.7 The Game. John, good morning. And as always, we greatly appreciate your time. We'll begin with Niners-Lions Sunday at Levi's Stadium. There was some talk coming off Detroit's blowout loss Monday that Matt Patricia hadn't exactly made himself a lot of friends in the locker room, that Lions players were a little upset with how hard he pushed them during training camp. What are you hearing about this coming out of Detroit?
Certainly a bad start. I mean, from the way the game went to the way that the players seem to be reacting. But, of course, if you're a Bill Belichick guy, isn't that supposed to be the normal reaction? I mean, because you're pushing players in a lot of different directions. But now the question is it going the right way? I think everybody's kind of making too rash of judgments right now to say that this isn't working in one game. But I thought that the fact that even you had some players on the record saying that they didn't like the way it started with the adjusting times and how they're using players. Again, Bill Belichick makes it work because he wins. It didn't work the first game for Matt Patricia, so naturally there's going to be some criticism and some questions.
Niners going to have to go deep into the right guard bag, and going up against Ziggy Ansah could be very challenging. Just how formidable is Ansah in the Detroit front against a Niners offensive line that is a little bit patchwork?
Yeah, it's not great because right now Ziggy hasn't really been healthy for more than like about a year and a half. I mean, he's even got some question marks going into this game, and so that could be a problem. And you know, you look at that defensive line, and they need more. They need more pass rush, and that's something that's still going to be an issue. So when you look at it, I mean, I know that they're still adjusting with some young linebackers and all that. I mean, they're a vulnerable team. Because, you know, they've got to get better certainly on offense. They've got to figure out why the New York Jets seem to anticipate and know just about every play. But I think on defense, I don't know if they're good enough, but still, I worry about the 49ers and the injury stuff. I've worried about it since I saw them in training camp. I worry about their depth. And I think that you can see now down two guards, down a couple linebackers. We'll see if, I guess, Malcolm Smith's going to be back. I just worry if there's enough depth right now to get through this.
Sure. Professor, when you hear what's going on in Pittsburgh, offensive linemen talking about Le'Veon Bell and said he was going to show up and he doesn't, and all the different things surrounding him, do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers would be interested in trading that young man and trading him to San Francisco 49ers? And who would be some of the suitors for Le'Veon?
The suitors aren't going to be many because you don't have many with the cap room to be able to do it. And if you're going to be able to make a trade for Le'Veon, I mean, you got to be, one player away from being a Super Bowl contender. And so when you really look from the cap standpoint, and again, first off, the Steelers are a very principled team. They're not going to trade him. You know, they're just going to take the $850,000 off the cap and suffer without him. But so from the organizational standpoint, they're not going to do that. In fact, they're even starting to say, hey, we'll even put the transition tag on you at the end of this season and really try to screw you up if that's going to be the case. But, there's only three teams that have the cap room to be able to do something like that, and I think it's maybe only one of the three would be that, and that would be the Jets. Because they don't really have much at running back. The Indianapolis Colts, but they're not big into free agency. And then third would be, the 49ers, but they got $7.5 million tied up in Jarrett McKinnon, even though they don't have him for this year. So no trade, just a messy situation that's just kind of getting worse.
John Clayton with us here on 95.7 The Game. What direction do you see the league going with some of these non-quarterbacks who are looking for as much money as they are? I mean, we know how the market works. A guy signs, he gets $15 or $16 million, and then a guy comparable to that the next year is going to get more. It's going to keep pushing itself. Well, now the narrative after the Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack contracts, the narrative now is, well, you can't pay a quarterback and a non-quarterback $20 million plus per year. So what are we going to do? Are we going to see teams drafting Aaron Donalds and Khalil Macks and then just trading them 4 or 5 years down the road because of this logic?
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing that in some regards anyways, because you now get to the third year of what the player's contract is, and then you start making value decisions. And so, for example, I mean, you saw that happen with Brandon Cooks. It went from New Orleans to New England to the Rams. I mean, you see that particularly when you have a good group of wide receivers. Then, of course, on the defensive players, that's going to be the one I think is the most interesting, because, I mean, you need defense, not necessarily to win championships. You need a quarterback to win a championship, but there's going to be teams like the Raiders and others that are going to say, you know what, we can't do this. We have a quarterback we're paying. We want to really put more money on offense. And with the fact that you're getting more offensive head coaches, I think you may see a little bit more of that, which, of course, I think is wrong, because you just want to have the best players on your team as possible, and then you just try to work the cap the way you can.
It may be recency bias, John, but it seems like Cincinnati might be the best team in the AFC North, considering what Pittsburgh's going through with Big Ben being questionable. Is Cincinnati a team that's for real, or does that division still go through the Steelers?
I mean, I think they're becoming for real, because I think now they put, well, they didn't play a great game against Indianapolis, even though they won by 10, but that was a good win last night. They look good, and you can see that, you know, they've gotten better on the offensive line. I know John Ross didn't do much at the receiving corps, but you can see they look better there. So I think they're back to being a little bit of a factor. Again, I wouldn't make too much of a rash judgment, but I think that you can see that they're going to be in the mix now to compete. You know, Pittsburgh, I mean, they could keep slipping back, because, you know, they've got a little bit of a tougher schedule, and they also have the problems with Le'Veon Bell. I thought Baltimore really laid an egg, because I thought that this was a playoff team, good run defense. Joe Flacco was off totally in this game, so that caught me a little bit off guard. But, no, I'm not surprised that Cincinnati's starting to bounce back. Remember, they did have five straight playoff runs a few years ago.
When you talk about rash decisions and people being, you know, jumping to conclusions, let's talk about the Oakland Raiders. John Gruden comes out of the booth, been away from the game for 10 years, but still the Gruden coach, the Gruden grinders, all the things that keep him around this game. Is the criticism merit right now, or is it more Carr? How do you look at this team, and how do you look at John Gruden as a whole?
Well, I mean, John Gruden, the coach, I think you have to respect. I think you can see how good he is. I mean, that's one I think that goes without question. He's a very good head coach. But what you wonder about is John Gruden, the general manager. I mean, is that going the right way? You know, with now 16 players in their 30s, is that the right way to go? I think the fact that he made a bold decision that now has cost them Khalil Mack. Yeah, they got draft choices and all that, but that doesn't help them this year. I think one of the things that you can see, he's kind of not trying to say, okay, I'm taking this team to the playoffs right now, I'm going to try, but he's just trying to build something a little bit different. But again, is that going to work the right way? I think that's still a question mark.
John Clayton joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Speaking of Gruden, one of the popular talking points here in the Bay Area right now is what he thinks of Derek Carr. He may say one thing, he may do another, he may be aligned both in private and in public, but people are taking notice that Derek's due $19.9 million on the third day of the league year, and that if they were to bounce him before then, it would only count as $7.5 million in dead money against the cap. So is Derek Carr long for the Oakland Raiders?
No, I think he's long for the Raiders, but now the question is going to be where there's going to be some bumps in the road, and I think there will be some bumps in the road, because, I mean, he doesn't look like the Derek Carr of 2 years ago. And I don't know if that's because of the back injuries, the hits from last year, whatever it is, but he just doesn't seem to look the same. But one thing you know is that John Gruden likes working with veteran quarterbacks, and at this stage, Derek is a veteran quarterback with a lot of talent. So I think that, you know, he'll get a pass to some degree, but if things don't get better, then there's going to be some scrutiny. We'll see how he handles the scrutiny.
Packers have themselves a decent veteran quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. What do you think is the prognosis for him playing, and should they even play him against such a ferocious defense this Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I still think he's going to play, but I'm starting to get a little bit worried each day that he misses, because I still go back to watching Russell Wilson, who had a worse injury. He had a third-degree MCL, and he played through that, and so what you wonder about now is that, you know, is he going to be able to do it? I guess the thing that kind of caught me cold, because, again, when you saw him come back and play, you knew he was okay. But when he started talking about a little bit of the swelling on the knee as the week went on, and then also the pain, that puts things in question, because that went a little bit worse than Russell Wilson's. So I still think he will play, and regardless of if it's Vikings or any other team, you know, they need him out there, and he wants to be there. Because think about this, if he didn't come back in that second half, they will have lost to the Bears at home, and then possibly, if no Rodgers, they lose to the Vikings at home, their season's just about over.
NFL insider, columnist for the Washington Post, and host of the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle. John Clayton with us here on 95.7 The Game. John, it is always a pleasure. You're always dialed in. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Hey, thank you.
I mean, you got to be kidding me with this guy. Like, seriously. I would love, you know what, I would pay, and I know that there's a very small market for this, maybe just one, I would pay to be able to sit in and do a show with him one day, with him. Like, to just sit there and watch him work, and just be able to fire questions at him, and let him do his thing. Like, that could go for an hour, and I would be fine.
Hours, even.
There's no scenario where I would throw a football question at him and feel as if he wouldn't be able to give me something on that, where he wouldn't be able to sit there and break it down for you. Like, that is as in tune as it gets from an NFL mind.
He's like the old school PAT, where you're like 99.6% conversion
rate. Pretty
good
analogy.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
This radio show, the new school PAT. If you're the Chargers.
Oh, wow.
The Chargers can't kick, coach. Dan Bailey's out there. Go get him. It's not that hard.
Nope.
It's a personnel move. There's a good kicker available. You need a kicker. Go sign him. Do we honestly need to have the discussion as to why that is so challenging? That's for Los Angeles radio. That's their problem, not ours. We got our own problem. We got two teams that are 0-1. We got to figure out how they're going to win. That's going to come up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs with the Beef Line at 7:30 here on 95.7 The Game.
Marshawn. The Bay Area's football station. 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, the plugged-in listening audience, because we love you, because it's Friday, and because our cup overfloweth. Shout out to Anna for making it through that read despite all the chaos that was taking place in this studio.
A pro's pro, Anna Kagadakis.
Thank you.
Some great bit ideas coming up, Dibs was coming up with, that probably can never make their way to air. That's why there's podcasting.
Yeah. Maybe upon my retirement, the retirement show coming up in however many, whatever, days, months, or years, we'll break that out.
The retirement show with Dan Dibley. It starts
nice.
And like there's music and then like you don't hear him because, you know, he's checked out and it's just kind of like you're wondering what this thing is. He checks in for a little bit and then he just leaves and you don't know that it ends and then music plays and it ends.
It's over.
It's a good podcast.
The way it goes.
No matter where.
Downloaded every whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Beef line in 11 minutes. Our three keys to the game, coming up at around 7:45. Let me ask you this. If I could tell you right now, if you could find out right now that for the rest of his career, Jimmy Garoppolo will be Matthew Stafford, would you take that? Would you take that knowing right now that he will be Matthew Stafford for the rest of his career?
I wouldn't. I want a little bit more out of Jimmy G. I want a guy that's going to, you know, be good with the ball, take care of the ball. I want a guy that's going to be a winner. I want a guy that's going to get me further, win some playoff games, and I think that you got somebody in Jimmy G. So I wouldn't take that. I think that that's setting the bar too low. You guys both alluded to this guy's not a Hall of Famer. That's Matthew Stafford, that is. So when you think about that, is that saying a lot about is that saying a lot about Jimmy G? I think Jimmy G would say, if you ask him, would he settle for that career? I think the answer is no.
The answer is yes. He has had 4,000-yard passing years, 7 consecutive years, including one over 5,000. His touchdown-to-interception ratio is nearly 2-1, which isn't terrible when you've played as much as he has. I think Jimmy G would love to have that run. You figure 7 years in San Francisco, if he had 7 straight years of more than 4,000 yards passing, you figure your team would be in great shape to be a playoff contender each and every year.
No, it just makes it means that you're losing, Dibs. That's what it means. When you're throwing the ball that much, that's what people got to realize. I can get stats and make stats look any way I want them to look, especially for losing teams. You look at a lot of quarterbacks that are losing, they're going to have a lot of yardage out there because you're usually down by 2-3 touchdowns. So what do you got to do? You got to spin the ball. You got to throw it, and you got to throw it often. So I don't know if it's necessarily the yards means everything. If you got a guy throwing for 4,000 yards each and every year, and they don't go 8-8, I just think that you got to look at the situation and say, yeah, that means he can throw the ball. That means he can make some passes. I get that, but I don't like it. 4,000 yards a season doesn't mean anything to me.
Right, but how much of that do you put on him, and how much of that do you put on the ownership group, the front office, the coaching, the defense, and the players around him? If he's throwing late in games, it's probably not because the defense has held the opponent to 3 points.
Yeah, I think that you got to look at it. You say, okay, who does he have? And look at his years when he had 4,000 yards. Was who was bad? Did he have arguably the top five, top 10 receiver in the country, that in the world, top five Hall of Famer in Megatron? How was he then? Okay, and then how's his numbers after the guy departs? And then when do they throw the ball? Is it not an emphasis on running? Yeah, you got to put some of the weight on everybody. I totally get that, and I totally understand that. But also, I know that he had a pretty good receiver that he had a majority of those years is pretty good.
Yeah, Stafford's best seasons are without Megatron. We got to be factually accurate here. Stafford has been at his absolute best without Calvin Johnson. When you gave Matthew Stafford a competent offensive coordinator in Jim Bob Cooter, his numbers went through the roof. And he did it without the best weapon he's ever had at his disposal. Now, they worked together, all together in 2015, but look at everything after that. Stafford in 2014, before the arrival of Jim Bob Cooter, completed 60% of his passes. The year before that, 58%. The year before that, 59%, right? So he wasn't an accurate quarterback. And the year before the arrival of Jim Bob Cooter, 60% completion percentage, 22 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Now, let's jump forward to the first year with Cooter. 67%. 32 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Following year, 65%, 24 touchdowns, only 10 interceptions. Last year, 65%, 4,400 yards, 29 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. The guy's not a bad quarterback. We've proven right here that you could take away his best weapon, one of the greatest receivers of all time. But if you give him competent coaching, suddenly the mistakes come way down, the completion percentage goes way up, the touchdowns go up, the yardage goes up. So with some coaching, he immediately became a much better quarterback, someone you felt confident giving $27 million a year to. What happens if you give him a defense? What happens if you give him a good head coach? This, I ask this not because you need to necessarily ask yourself if you want Garoppolo to be Stafford, but what do you need to do to build around your quarterback, your franchise guy, to give him the best possible chance of success? Because Detroit clearly hasn't done that. Detroit has never done that for Matthew Stafford. Granted, he's made plenty of mistakes and he's gotten dinged up, but the numbers he puts up, the skill set, the attribute, the mentality that he has is good enough to get to the playoffs and maybe win a singular playoff game, something I believe he has never done in his career. He's played in, what, two playoff games? The loss to Dallas, and then years before that, the loss under Jim Schwartz to the New Orleans Saints. That's it. That's it. These numbers, this skill set, that mentality, the work he does in the community and all that has resulted in two trips to the postseason and two flameouts in the opening round. You can't put all of that on him. So if you ask yourself right now, you want Garoppolo to be better than Stafford, you wouldn't take Stafford, fine. What do the Niners then need to do to build around Garoppolo so that this doesn't happen here at Levi Stadium? Because that's going to be the big question for John Lynch over the next 3 to 5 years.
Well, the first thing, and they tried to address it this offseason, would be to do something Detroit hasn't done, which is to get a running game. 69 straight games without a 100-yard rusher for Detroit. The Niners thought they had something in Jerick McKinnon, and now he's lost for the year. So they tried to do something that Detroit hasn't been able to do, and then you look at the skill guys and you hope that you continue to improve your wide receiver core. You re-sign Marquise Goodwin. You've got Pierre Garçon, who's solid. And now the rookie Dante Pettis, who may start for Goodwin. Maybe you found something with him. He looks to be a pretty good player, a guy who can make plays in special teams as well. So you hope that you can give Jimmy G more of an offensive balance than Detroit had, certainly in the skill positions and also the offensive line.
Lo, I hear exactly what you're saying. You want more from Garoppolo than Stafford, than the Lions get from Stafford. I get that. You would not settle for Jimmy Garoppolo's career to be Matthew Stafford's. But in order for him to get past Stafford, you already have Shanahan, which is great, which is integral. But what else do you need to do? Because clearly right here, we have laid out the case of a competent quarterback who's got the skill set to get you to the playoffs. He should have had more success in the playoffs by this point. I think most people would agree that the Lions' failure to win in the postseason isn't because of Matthew Stafford. It's because of what's happened elsewhere in that organization. Fine, that happens all over the league. So what do the Niners do to avoid falling into a similar pitfall?
See, I'm on the side. I totally agree where you guys are coming from, and I understand numbers. So you say, okay, do I want him to have those type of numbers? Does it equate to victories? Don't know. You know, and you look at it and you say, okay, well, this guy's serviceable quarterback. I agree. I just think that sometimes in those moments, you got to have a defense. So the Niners got to get some receivers. You got to make sure you get the offensive line right now. I'm worried about Jimmy G's safety because you get your offensive line. Make sure get that guard position. That's the biggest concern right now for that offense. And you got to get the running back, the running game. We understand the Niners aren't where you need them to be. I just look at Stafford and you think, okay, if there's a 1 minute left and I'm trying to win a game. I know we can say Brady, you can say Rodgers, you can go Big Ben, you can go Phillip Rivers, you can go Russ Wilson, you can go Matty Ice, you got to go Drew Brees. I think there's some more quarterbacks that I would have over him if there's 1 minute or 2 minutes. I've just seen Stafford, in my opinion, when I watch him play, and yeah, he can throw the ball all over the place. I've just seen him when the game's on the line at times throw a costly interception. In crunch time situation, throw an interception. Don't get it done. You know, you put him in there with Flacco and in the redhead pistol. Flip a coin I had Carr, Andy Dalton, those five or six guys. I mean, you put them in there and say, who do I want for the last 2 minute drill? I don't know who do you pick. So
Dalton, he's 2-0. He looks fantastic.
The pistol
should be headed for an MVP award. I mean, wins matter, and he's got two wins right now.
I get that, but you don't. My point is, so I don't. When I'm saying Jimmy G, hopefully have a better. I just think that there's going to be a lot of moments for Jimmy G, and last week was one of those that you can't afford to throw interception. You still had a chance to win those games late. I rather have a quarterback that when I need him most, if the game's and still in the ballot to get, that's what I'd rather have. I understand the yardage and Stafford can throw the ball and do all those things great, but give me a guy that I know that in the games on the line, I really truly have a chance to go down and win it. So the 49ers, they have to get him weapons. They have to make sure the first thing they do is keep Jimmy G protected. And last week, he took a pounding and took a beating in where he played. So he got to make sure we get this guy, keep him healthy, because when he played in Minnesota, he took a lot of hits.
Even though the contract is massive, we do have to remember that Jimmy G has only started 8 games in his NFL career. And you look at Matthew Stafford, he started 126 games. So Matthew Stafford has played so many more years.
No
He's had
question.
So many more starts. He's played in 3 playoff games. Granted, he lost all 3, but his body of work is much, much larger. So a lot of times I think we get caught up looking at Jimmy G's contract and forgetting the fact that he's really in his, quote, first season as a starter. He's only started 8 games.
It's a Football Friday brought to you by Mancini's Sleep World, Golden State Lumber, and Harris Ranch Beef on 95.7 The Game. The Beef Line in just a moment, but RJ in Napa wants to weigh in on Matthew Stafford's narrative. RJ, welcome to the program. The floor is yours. Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. I just want to let you know, because I know you guys talk all the time about, you know, national narratives versus what's really going on and this and that. And I can tell you, so I'm a diehard, lifelong Lions fan, which is not an easy thing to be. And it's pretty much the general consensus among Lions fans, at least that I know and on all the blogs I read, that Matthew Stafford is definitely not the problem. And Joe, you threw out a trivia question or a trivia bit earlier this week about, you know, the last time the Lions had a 1,000-yard rusher. And if you think about that, I mean, think of how many bad NFL teams have a ham and egger that's a 1,000-yard rusher every year, right? So it's not that hard to have one of those. And we haven't had one of those in about 5 years. So it's, you know, the stats are slightly inflated because they do throw a lot in this and that. But the guy is super tough. He's super smart. I mean, he had an awful game the other night. There's no doubt about that. But there are much worse quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls, and the general consensus among the fans is that if, like you guys said, if he ever did have a decent team around him, he would definitely be a Super Bowl winning caliber quarterback. So that's all I got, guys. Happy Friday.
Great stuff, RJ. And that reinforces one of two main tenets on this program, PHP, people helping people.
Sure.
A Lions fan here in the Bay Area, clearly distraught, but he can call Joe Lowendibs. And even though there are billions of listeners, we'll get him to the front. We'll give him an opportunity to vent on that very subject. And we will at least hopefully provide some sort of perhaps catharsis for him as he goes about his weekend. People helping people.
Yeah, I like that too.
Sorry, I can't help you. It's time for the Beef Line.
There's some things in life that really piss you off. Now's your chance to unleash the fury.
is the Beef Line. Proudly presented by Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Knob Hill Foods.
Yes! Get over there!
Now, it's time to go beef mode.
The Beef Line is presented by Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Knob Hill Foods. A reminder, best calls every Monday and Friday at 7:30. The number if you want to weigh in is 415-403-8588. That's 415-403-8588. Best of the best. Best call of the month gets a $100 gift certificate courtesy of our friends at Harris Ranch. Will that call come today? Let's find out with caller number one.
This is for Low. First of all, how are you going to let two of the dorkiest looking dudes in the Bay Area sit there and clown you Monday through Friday? Come on, brother. I know you're a man of God. Sometimes even God had to smite people. Let them have it every once in a while, bud. Come on. Everybody wants to see it. And to finish off, as a loyal Niner fan, believe me when I say this team is still a year away.
Good upticks. Couple of them in there.
Low, he specifically wanted to address you and the situation you face on a daily basis with this program. The floor is yours.
Well, I think this show teaches me patience. It teaches me understanding. And for me, it's not worth it. I don't mind it. I can understand it. And so I'm good with it. It's not a big deal to me.
I think the most important part of what you just said is that it teaches you patience and understanding. So when you really slice it down to the nitty-gritty, we are helping you, not hurting you.
Absolutely.
So people, that caller people has no chance of winning the gift certificate because he was factually inaccurate from start to finish. But thank you, sir. Feel free to call us anytime at 415-403-8588. Caller number two.
My beef is with the city of San Francisco. Come on, man. I'm in the San Francisco Giants race this weekend. How many potholes are on those streets? They start the race, you had to duck and dodge all kinds of potholes on that race. Come on, man.
It's tough out there, Coach. It's tough.
Let me ask you something. Anyone know how much money the city of San Francisco spent to clean the city last year? How much tax money went to clean the streets? This is a report the other day from one of the local
news
stations.
I'd say $25
million. $25
million? I'll say $22.
$22
million? $10.
$53 million of our money was spent to clean these streets. Not fix these streets, clean these streets. And if you look outside, they are not clean. They're not clean at all. How many people live in this city? Like a quarter million?
Three quarters of a million.
Chicago spent a third of what we spent. And they have like five times the population of the city. So just think about that for a second. How much money you're spending and what you're getting in return for that. It's an egregious misappropriation of funds, if you ask me.
It's a misappropriation sensation is what it is.
Yeah, that's because you got friends bidding on each other's job and understand they can tax it, so it's a good old boy network. That's the game. That's how it's played.
Got a little deeper there than I think.
You're going to make me call the beef line right now.
Let's keep it real. I'm sorry if I keep it real.
We will keep it moving.
100.
Caller number three.
This is for Joe, man. My beef is for Joe. It's regarding that Fort and Ball Friday. Hey, Fort and Ball Fridays, you're a guest. Yeah, you got to play the position, son. I don't need you trolling D. Bruce and Gianna. Well, bad enough you got the afternoon drive folks trying to uptick. Sound like a bunch of old fuddy-duddies trying to uptick.
From 3 to 7, words matter.
Be the side piece. This is not the morning show. This is Fort and Ball Friday. It means you are the guest. So just play the position. Keep us entertained that way. None of that stupid upticking. As a Nittany Lion, we are. Or should I say, we are.
Nice.
A lot going on there. First and foremost, I don't do the upticking on the Damon Bruce program. People call in and do the upticking. I can't be responsible for the 7 billion people walking around on this planet. Some guy in Australia wants to go ahead and go skinny dipping and scare his neighbors. What am I supposed to do about that?
Nothing.
There's nothing I can do. I cannot solve the problems in Venezuela. So right now, if you got a problem with the upticking, you take it up with the people. Number two, Fort and Ball Friday, I'm not the guest. I'm the star. They bring me in to be the star attraction, the highest rated 2 hours in the history of radio. I got those numbers last week. There's nothing that beats it in the entire world. So go ahead and look it up.
Yeah. I believe it.
Good luck finding those numbers.
What's that beef line number again? I'm going to have to call it. I thought you were supposed to be a side piece in the afternoon, not the main course.
Look, they don't bring me in there to prop up the show. They bring me in there to take the show to the next level.
Take them, Joe.
It's great
take
radio.
Them.
Next call.
this group is with the guys. I mean, we're talking about basketball already. It's Wednesday. We are only two days removed from the first NFL game. And you guys are talking about frosty old basketball players teaming up with one another. Can't even win on their own fashion show on the sideline. My goodness. Basketball is so soft, and I'm just tired of it. And I'm going to do basketball like hockey and tennis. I'm just not even going to pay attention to it.
Classic problem with content. You don't talk about basketball, people are mad you're always talking about football. You talk about baseball, why aren't you talking about football? You talk about tennis, why are you talking about tennis? You really cannot ever win.
No, and I think we talked about basketball for about 60 seconds. So I'm sorry, sir, that you got caught up in that singular minute of basketball talk. But we're a couple weeks away. It's going to get hot and heavy here pretty soon. Camp's going to be opening.
All right, final call.
Hey, guys, there's a member of the show who walks away unscathed each and every week. Well, and you're going down like Greece in the last 10 Olympics. Greece is well known for their olives. Well, I hate olives. They leave this weird, horrible, sour taste in my mouth. I feel the same way after hearing one of your updates. You should go call the dad from my big, fat Greek wedding and have him spray some Windex on this burn. And I wish I could say you make the show better, but my mother taught me to always tell the truth. Go to hell, Anna, and take your stupid green olives with you.
Yeehaw.
Whoa.
Whoa.
We may have a winner.
Wow. The floor is yours if you would like to address that.
Olive oil, olives, all of that goodness is incredibly popular around the world, sir. And it is huge for Greece's industry. But anyway, I will say Steph Curry also gets a lot of burn all the time, even though he's one of the greatest players ever in the NBA.
You're equating yourself to Steph.
Yeah.
That's what just happened there?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
I like it. I'll score it.
From the Fortin Ball playbook.
Hey, yeah. You've got the most popular segment in radio. I'm like Steph Curry. What can I say?
It works for me. Do we have a little ding or, you know?
Sure. Just
sure.
A short, quick ding. He even upticked her her trademark yeehaw.
Yeehaw!
Olives are fantastic. I love them in my martinis, which leads me to a very brief anecdote. The Big Puma getting married in Chicago this weekend. I'm flying in tonight for the wedding.
Hey, guy.
With Puma about a year ago, I have never been cut off by a bartender faster in my life. Went to Chicago last fall. You can bring the music down and we'll do the read. We went out for martinis. Nikki's company is based in Chicago. So every year for their Christmas party, they'll fly in the employee if it's at one of the other satellite locations, and they'll put you up and do the whole thing, take everybody out. So I figure, all right, we'll go in. She hasn't done it in years. We'll go to Chicago. We'll have some fun. We'll see some people. So I go do the radio show with Mully and Hanley in the morning because I've been friends with them for years. And then afterwards, Puma and I go out to, I think, the Lowe's Hotel, and we just start pounding martinis because I got them on those in Vegas a few months prior. So we must have gone through, like, we're the only two people in this bar, mind you. And we go through probably three martinis each. And the bartender just comes walking out. And he's one of the guys that has to wear the tie for work. I mean, sure, really dressed up. He goes, I'm sorry, guys. I can't serve you anymore. What's this about, guy? What are you talking about?
Come on,
guy. He goes, I've been bartending 25 years. I've never seen anyone drink martinis that fast. I'm happy to serve you some food, but I can't serve you any more drinks. I was like, are we being loud? Are we being belligerent? He goes, no, you're actually quite fine. That's what's scary. It's like, well, wow. Here's your 5% tip. We will take our business elsewhere, sir.
Wow.
It's only 2 in the afternoon. What am I supposed to do? Stop drinking?
No.
This is Chicago. This is supposed to be one of the great American towns.
How'd that work out for you later on? Did it hit you a little bit?
I started falling asleep at Nikki's dinner in front of her bosses and everyone else, and she pretty much sent me home, and I wasn't really a big portion of the rest of the evening.
So imagine if you actually had more martinis afterwards.
Yeah, I would have been able to make it through. I would have powered through on the sweet, sweet nectar that is the martini vodka.
Good
question. That's exactly what happened. I had way too much to drink.
Oh,
they had a private magic show for everyone. It was awesome. It was at this hotel conference room, and I was pounding wine in there, and then we got to dinner, and I sat down, and I hadn't eaten all day.
She looks
at me, and she's like, you're a mess. Now, I was able to sell it as we landed at like midnight,
right,
and I went in to do Mully and Hanley 2 hours later. I only slept for about an hour and a half.
Oh, that's tough.
Went in, did a four-hour show, and then went out and started pounding martinis. So it's like, you know, he's had a really long day, but it's absolutely a boost.
So you ate and said, excuse me, I'm out? Or is it like
it was more like, go get an Uber and go home. It wasn't, excuse me, I'm out. It was, excuse me, get an Uber and go home. You're embarrassing.
She forced him to do an Irish goodbye.
Yeah.
You're leaving.
And I was like, I wasn't being mean. She goes, no, you weren't being mean at all. You just, you know,
look
you
tired.
Look dead.
Okay.
You look like a dead human being.
when she got home, was able to wake you up, or was it the next
God,
day?
No. No, I got up and started drinking. I had a party for the podcast there. I had a big watch party. So I threw down like $2,000 on wings and an open tab and had a bunch of listeners show up at this bar, the 50-50 in Chicago.
Yeah.
And we just blew it out all afternoon. So Puma shows up. We're pounding martinis again.
Oh, man.
Nikki gets to meet Puma's fiance at the time because they had just gotten engaged.
Yeah.
And they're just watching this, and they're like, this is what happened yesterday. This is why they couldn't make it. He couldn't make it through the dinner, and Puma's fiance, soon-to-be wife tomorrow, is looking at Nikki like, this is why he can't make it through anything. Case in point, he got cut off at the White Sox game for the bachelor party a couple weeks ago. Anywho.
Good to see you, Joe.
Anywho,
good
a bit of a departure there. Great news. Part of our Beefline sponsorship deal with Harris Ranch includes gift certificates to give away for the best beef of the month. Each month, we will give a $100 Harris Ranch beef gift certificate available at your local Raley's, Bel Air, and Knob Hill Foods. Next time to get in is Monday at 7:30. And remember, if you want a beef on what happens in the Raider-Bronco game, if you want a beef on what happens in the Niner, who are the Niners playing? Lions.
Yes,
that's 2 weeks in a row I've spaced on that.
You got locked up.
Hit the line. Let us know if there's play calling you don't like, if there's decision-making, players, coaches, what have you. 415-403-8588. 415-403-8588. Beat the bookie in 1 hour at 845, Lowe versus Dibs, with a special Triple G Canelo installment at 945. Did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I wanted to jump back on to we were talking about Matthew Stafford. I know the caller talked about, he's a great quarterback and all this, that, and the other. I think, you got to look at this. The reason why I look at it and say a little different is because this team will never win a Super Bowl. They will never get deep in the playoffs because they don't run the ball. And a lot of these numbers, we had Lomas Brown on. He talked about being physical and all the different things. You have to have an attitude and have to be able to run the ball with consistency. And since this team says, no, this is not how we're built, we're going to throw the ball all around and continue to do that, you're going to always get these great numbers, but you're never going to do anything. You're never going to go to the playoffs, and you're never going to win this Super Bowl with this type of approach. Bottom line, mark it down, mark the tape. This team will never win a Super Bowl because all they do is want to play basketball on the grass on a consistent basis, and Matthew Stafford's numbers are going to look absolutely amazing because this team is not physical, they don't have it, and they never will if this is going to be their approach.
You realize that for that take to be accurate, the world has to end or the NFL has to cancel its business. To say the Lions will never win the Super Bowl, mark the tape, that's, we could be waiting a long time to pay out on that one.
We have to pass the tape down to your children and your grandchildren. So old Granddaddy Neil said mark the tape, and well, the Lions are in Super Bowl 108. You know? It's like, somebody tell Granddad.
The Lions have won the Super Bowl here in year 2352.
Go bring it to Lowe's grave. Bring it to Lowe's grave.
How do you do a funeral take to a funeral?
Yeah.
Like somebody who,
that's a great question. Mark the tape.
I'm talking about with
mark
this.
Mark the tape, because in 500 years when the NFL ceases to exist, I want to be proven right. I want you to dig my bones up and bring them into whatever radio program's going on, and you play that tape for those people. All right. Good God, man. Good God, this thing's going off the rails.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back in. Every week we do this. Three things each one of us is watching in this specific game. This is the Niners Lions edition. Three things we're each going to be watching. Could I get some music, please?
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
Jamiroquai. Thank you.
All right. We'll start with Lo Neal. Give me the first of three things you're going to be watching for Sunday when the Lions come to town to play the Niners.
Absolutely, Joe. And for me, it starts you know where. On the goal line, in that red zone, inside the 20 and in. Last week, this team suffered in the red zone. They continue to have their woes in the red zone. I got to watch that red zone.
Interesting. It's the red zone. Dibs. Yeah. One thing you'll be watching on Sunday.
Dante Pettis, Joe, likely to get the start if Marquise Goodwin is unable to go. And you're going to see some electrifying play. You already see him in special teams on the punt return. Hopefully he can make some big plays there. But I'll have my eye on Dante Pettis to see how many targets he gets if he gets a start and plays a Marquise Goodwin. I like the rookie. He's got a lot of upside. And it's going to start to manifest this Sunday.
I'll keep it there. The matchup of matchups to watch this weekend, Lions Pro Bowl cornerback Darius Slay against San Francisco's highest paid wide receiver, Pierre Garçon. Slay was a Pro Bowler in 2017. Garçon, you know he's got the money, but he was only able to play in half the games last season. He has just one game with Jimmy Garoppolo under his belt. this is the matchup. If Garcon's going to be your number one target, I'm not saying he needs to go out there and catch 10 for a buck 40 with two scores, but he has to be productive. And Slay is quite possibly the most underrated Pro Bowl cornerback in the game. I don't even know how many people are aware of Darius Slay because he plays in Detroit. If he were playing in New York, New England, or L.A., he'd be one of the biggest names in the business. Number two, Lo Neal.
Yeah, without a doubt, with me, it's the pass rush for the San Francisco 49ers. Why? Because you guys talking about this great quarterback in Matthew Stafford. If he has opportunity, continue to throw the ball with no pressure, this will be a huge disappointment for the San Francisco 49ers. So if this pass rush doesn't get after Matthew Stafford and hit this guy and hit him often and give him too much time, this will be the San Francisco will be in for a long day.
Three things we'll be watching for Sunday when the Lions come to town to take on the Niners. Dibs, number two.
Elijah Lee, the linebacker, Joe. He was the highest rated player on the 49ers, according to Pro Football Focus last week. He only played 10 snaps, but he had a 91 rating. He played well in a limited sample size, and you're going to have a situation where he's going to probably start with Brock Coyle on injury reserve. Who knew it would be Lee and Fred Warner at linebacker? We saw what Fred Warner can do. Now Elijah Lee, in a bigger sample size, needs to play like he did against Minnesota.
One more game and we get Reuben Foster back. But again, the operative words being one more game this week is going to be key for the linebackers. Number two, third down defense. Against Minnesota, the Vikings converted 7 of 17 third down opportunities. That was 13th best in the NFL. Not bad, considering how much Minnesota spends at wide receiver, running back, and quarterback. Also, considering the fact that Minnesota's playing at home, I'd give the Niners a passing grade in that scenario. Detroit last week on third down against the Jets at home, 3 of 13. That was 26th in the NFL for week one. Now, last year, the Niners on third down defense, 20th in the league. Opponents converted 42% of the time. That was 20th best in the NFL. This is an opportunity this weekend to get off the field. Do not let the Lions convert on third and extend those drives. Get Garoppolo back out there so he can do what he is paid to do. Three things we're looking for Sunday when the Lions take on the 49ers. Low, number three.
Got to have Alfred Morris. He needs to run the ball better. Him and Breida need to make this thing happen, because I'll tell you right now, team that runs the ball best will win this game. And this is going to be very, very important for the San Francisco 49ers to establish that running game and make sure it's consistent.
Dibs, number three.
As well as running it consistently, you need to hold on to the football. And for me, the key is Alfred Morris and ball security. Going into the season, he'd only fumbled 11 times in more than 1,300 career touches. That's one for every 120 or so touches.
That's good math.
Well, he fumbled on back-to-back plays, Joe, and that's unacceptable. He fumbled, got it back, fumbled, didn't get it back. So Lowe's right about consistency. For me, it's ball security with Alfred Morris.
Number three, and we'll open up the phone lines to this one, 888-957-9570, the environment of Levi's Stadium. I could hear the crowd noise at the Coliseum on Monday night. Now, granted, team's only going to be around a little while longer. There's some issues taking place behind the scenes, possibly, but that's not the problem of the fans. The fans needed to show up Monday night. They needed to make that place hostile against the Rams. They did their part, period. Raider Nation showed up. Now I want to know where the Niner fans are going to be. I get it. A lot of people don't like the location of the stadium. They don't like the temperature of the stadium. They don't like the layout of the stadium. They don't like what they've seen within the stadium over the last few years. All understandable complaints. But what do you got for me this time around? This is Jimmy Garoppolo. This is the most highly anticipated season since what? 2012? 2013? Is this place going to sell out? Because last year, the Niners in attendance, 13th in the NFL, brought in about 70,000 per game. Now, granted, NFL stadiums like Jerry World can bring in 100,000, so it's going to be tough to stack up against them in MetLife when you're a bit of a smaller venue. But 13th in attendance. And on the road, they attracted the 16th largest attendance. So what's going to happen at Levi's this weekend? Those are our three keys to watch for this weekend's Lions-Niners game. Do you think this is going to be a sellout?
Absolutely. I think fans are excited not only about Jimmy G, but this 49er product. And even though they lost to Minnesota, like you'd been saying all week, it was an expected defeat for the most part. First chance to go out there and see your 49ers. It's not going to be extraordinarily hot, which I know the hot side can sometimes keep fans away, especially in these September games. I think you're going to see a sellout and one of the loudest crowds we've had at Levi's.
I'll say definitely yes. They're also giving out the Jimmy G bobblehead for all in attendance this weekend.
All in attendance.
All in
attendance. They have 80,000 bobbleheads down there.
Looks like it.
Good God. Thanks for showing off for that, Jed. People are really going to enjoy that. Sell out this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. Shoot, say no more. Anna just nailed it. She's talking about Jimmy G's head right there, the bobblehead. People are going to be all over that. So there'll be a lot of ladies in the stadium saying, I want my Jimmy G doll. So I think the bobblehead's going to be a hot item. But I think that the crowd noise is going to play a big, tremendous part in this victory for the San Francisco 49ers. So without a doubt, the fans are going to be there, and I could see this thing selling out.
The number's 888-957-9570. Niner fans, we want to hear from you. 888-957-9570. Are you going to Levi's this weekend? Is this going to be a big tailgate for you? And what do you expect from the crowd? This has been a sore subject for a lot of fans for quite some time. They don't like the location of the stadium. They don't like the heat. We get it. We've heard all that. That's fine. It's out there. It's not original. But considering that you've gone through such a down period, the Tom Sula year, the Chip Kelly year, both singular, singular year, and then the end of the Harbaugh regime, which kind of fizzled more than anything else in that final season. When was the last time you had this much to be excited about as a Niner fan? Now, granted, late last season, people started jumping back on the train, having a good time with it, but you knew there wasn't a shot at the playoffs. You could only go so far last year. So it was about moral victories, developing, and enjoying the new high-priced toy in Jimmy Garoppolo. But this year, what's this Lions game going to be like? Is it going to be a sea of red? Is it going to be loud? If you turn this game on Sunday afternoon, are you going to hear a loud crowd on third down? Because you heard it on TV at the Coliseum. You could tell without a shadow of a doubt that that place was rocking Monday night. Granted, you have more time to get ready for a Monday night game, and anytime you play under the lights, it's going to bring about a more hostile environment for the road team. But this should be a loud environment. This should be one of the most amped crowds the Niners have had in 3, 4, 5 years.
Without a doubt, and I think that's how long it's been since there's been this much anticipation and excitement around the product. And it's not only because of the quarterback, Jimmy G, and Anna's right, the bobblehead is going to bring a lot of people out to the ball game, but it's more about this team and the fact that for the first time in 3 years or so, they have an actual direction. Shanahan and Lynch, Jed York stepping out and taking his hands off the steering wheel, letting it go to Lynch and Shanahan, let them run things. I think the fan base sees that. They see a team that's going in the right direction. It's a team that's been somewhat interesting and exciting. You just hope that they don't come out and lay an egg, Joe, and have, you know, maybe they win the game 12-10 or 12-11, all field goals. They need to not only play well and win, but be exciting this weekend.
That's an interesting point. So you're saying a win isn't enough. It's got to be a win, and it's got to be pretty as well.
I think excitement is a huge part of this because the hype around Jimmy G is gigantic. That's why he got the big contract. That's why you see all the number 10 jerseys around town now. You got to deliver. It's one thing to not deliver at Minnesota, 3 picks. It's somewhat forgivable. If you come home and you don't play well, even if you win the game, maybe it's 15-14 with 5 field goals, that's going to leave fans wanting, and ultimately, it is entertainment product, and you want to entertain the fans, so you want to see Jimmy G have a big day.
I tell you right now, if you don't, you're talking about a big day, he's going to have to play big, because I'm telling you right now, if they don't get 21, they're not winning this game.
Defense can't hold Detroit to less than 21?
No, they can't, and they won't.
Let me go ahead and check the over-under here.
Jimmy G's going to have to play, and this team is going to have to get things done. I'm with you with that, Dibs. Both these teams are going to get in, so look for this to be one of those Jimmy G 28, 22, 28, 24. It's going to be a good little game, and I think that the Niners are going to get in. It's going to have to put some points on the board.
Total's 48 in Vegas, so they're telling you that this isn't going to necessarily be a defensive struggle. Meanwhile,
no,
Carolina, Atlanta, 2 MVP quarterbacks, total of 44, right? Fast track of the Atlanta Dome. Atlanta has extra time to get ready for this game. That's a total of 44. Detroit, San Francisco, total of 48. They're telling you something. Right along what you're saying. You don't get to 21. You score 21 or fewer. I would agree with that. I don't think you're going to win this game. I don't know if the defense is good enough to keep the Lions to less than 21 points. Great point. To the phones. Mark, San Rafael. Mark, thank you for the phone call. Your thoughts on the game this weekend?
Well, I'm sorry. I wanted to just back up a little bit. I grew up in Detroit. I just wanted to comment. You know, you're talking about Matthew Stafford, and if you look back at the list of the Lions quarterbacks, Milt Plum and Bill Munson,
Scott Mitchell,
Greg Landry, and all those guys, you know, they were not quarterbacks that ever come up in any discussions anywhere, of course. But you know, at the time, you know, they weren't necessarily bad. And you know, of course, the Lions have won a championship like 57 or something with Bobby Lane. So Matthew Stafford, to me, is just the perfect epitome of a Detroit quarterback who's just not quite there all the way. And to me, that speaks a lot about the organization. I mean, when I was a kid, the Lions were horrible. And In fact, I hate to admit that I kind of grew up a Cowboy fan just because the Lions were so crappy. But anyway, you know, they have an organizational issue, in my opinion. You never hear the Lions talked about as a high-class organization. You know, they've had some really great opportunities, but to me, they just can't ever quite get there. So I sort of like the don't think they'll ever get to the Super Bowl in my lifetime. I'm 61, so hopefully I get another 40 years or so. We'll be interested to see. Anyway, you guys have a great weekend. You got a great show. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Mark. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
I'll say this. The two calls we've taken so far today when we've decided to open up the phones, both Lions fans.
Wow.
If I'm a Niner fan, I'm wondering, we're supposed to sell this place out. We're supposed to be a better team. We're favored. And yet we don't call the radio show to talk about the game. The Lion fans take over in the Bay Area. I find it hard to believe Niner fans are calling Detroit Sports Talk Radio this week.
Right. Right. In all defense of Mark, he's actually a Cowboy fan, as he admitted. He's a Cowboy fan from Detroit because Detroit was so bad. So even though he was perpetrating as a Lions fan. And the whistle, by the way, was for you. You tried to Scott Mitchell him with the mic off. So just so we keep everybody up to speed on what the flag was for, the 5-yarder. That was on Lorenzo
Neal. Why are you waving at me?
I was just going to tell you don't pile on.
I wasn't going to.
Okay.
But I don't need you waving at me telling me not to pile on.
Just good morning.
I'm trying to do a radio show here.
Yeah,
that's it.
I get that.
Distracting the host. Is that 5?
Yeah,
no!
Disrupting the flow of the show because not only does he make a mistake to not turn his mic on, but then he just starts telling everyone,
what are we doing here,
Don't
Joe?
Say anything, Joe. Don't say anything.
And you had to blow the whistle.
That's 2. If I'm you, I'm looking for a TV timeout.
Okay. Let me bring this thing back. There's two players that been my two favorite players in Detroit in history that I loved, and they happen to be running backs. Billy Sims, number 20. The guy I used to love watching him. So, Detroit. I love Detroit. I used to love watching that team play.
You just said they literally will never win a Super Bowl. And then 5 minutes later, yes, you did. We actually did a bit on how when you said mark the tape, they'll never win a Super Bowl, we said we'd have to wait till the end of time to prove that true.
Or the folding of the league.
And we all laughed about it.
Right.
And then 5 minutes later, you're talking about how you love Detroit. Someone who loves Detroit wouldn't defecate all over them like that.
That's not true. Whoa. Wait, Mr. Dibley, you really going to go? You're a funny dude. You know what? Sometimes you've chapped my
Like a clown funny?
It was just, I made a statement that they won a Super Bowl because the way they do things. But that's what I was talking about, this era with Matthew Stafford. That's the point that I was making. Not for the lifetime, it was just doing that. But I was just going back to say there was two players that I loved watching. I mean, Billy Sims, I don't know if you watched him, Joe, it was probably before your time, and Barry Sanders. Those two guys that I liked. That's all I was making a statement. It wasn't about winning a Super Bowl. Right?
Marconi Award online too. The radio you're producing right now is just
spectacular.
I would look out if I was literally anyone else in this industry. Because what we're seeing right now is, I mean, I almost think that's too much.
It kind of fades out on me.
It's like one person clapping because they support it and someone else clapping just because
there's no Niner call.
The Lions are juiced. The Lions are literally juiced. I'm staring at them right now, but I'm waiting for your Detroit love fest / hate fest to end so we could go back to the show. Now, you remember when you started waving at me to not get involved. Had you not disrupted the entire flow of the program. Yeah, we know.
This is like Radio Raheem. He's got the love and then he's got the hate.
He wants to get to the callers. Go, Joe. Sorry about that. Stop.
Why are you interrupting him now?
My name's on the marquee. I can speak when I'm not spoken to, okay? Maybe you should hold this yellow hanky that I have over here just to remind yourself of where we are.
If only we had gigantic printouts that told us what we'd be talking about in front of us.
Yeah.
And things that told us, like, you know, when segments start and end. Maybe we could put you in a position where you'd have a better chance to follow along with the program. And yet the beef line calls up, you guys are too rough on low. Come in one day and watch this in action.
Watch it.
888-957-9570. Niner fans, we apologize. Lowe hates Detroit. He loves Detroit. It's a tough segment for him right now. Kazmir, Walnut Creek. Kazmir, thanks for the phone call. What's going on? You going out to the game this weekend?
Nah, I won't be there, Brad. I'm sorry. But, hey, real quick to Lowe, man. 25 squats in the morning, bro. It always works, right?
No question, buddy. No question. Good job.
Hey, as a Niner fan, my suspense isn't so much excitement, but more like, did we just put $26 million into somebody that was unnecessary? And $26 million, honestly, the stars of the Niners to me are the defense and the field goal kicker. I mean, how many games last year did they win where Robbie Gould kicked 6 field goals? And then, like, this year, it just looks like it again that all
Garofalo's going to be doing is just getting our kicker close enough. And that's my suspense is that, you know, is this guy going to work out? And if not, what's going to happen to the Niners?
When did that concern start for you, if I may ask?
Say what?
When you started feeling this concern about Garoppolo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.